नमो भगवते वसुदेव।
If you want, you can sit closely. This is a wonderful verse. So we read from the Bhagavad Gita, the 10th canto, text number 5, 4 to 5. Should we read word by word and follow word by word, repeat? Or line per line. How much time we have? 20 minutes. Oh. So good. Okay. Exactly. 20 minutes. We can read line by line and repeat line in turn. Buddhir gyanam asamuha kshama satyam tamashama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo abhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa sama tushtish Tapodanam yasho yasha Bhavanti bhava bhutanam Mata eva prita vidu vida. Buddhir gyanam asamoha Kshama satyam tamashama Sukha dukham bhavo bhavo Bhayam cha bhayam eva cha Ahimsa sama tushtis tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam mata eva prita vidu. Somebody wants to buddhir gyanam asamoha kshama satyam damashamo. Buddhir gyanam samoha kshaman satyam damashanta sukadukam bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti tapodanam yaso yasa bhavanti bhava bhutanam mata eva pritavida. Buddhi jnanam samoha shama satyam damashama sukha dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tustis ladies side. If you don't want it, no. Okay. Buddhi, intelligence. Jnanam, knowledge. Asammoha, freedom from doubt. Kshama, forgiveness. Satyam, truthfulness. Dhammaha, control of the senses. Shamaha, control of the mind. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. Bhavaha, birth. Abhavaha, death. Bhayam, fear. Cha, also. Abhayam, fearlessness. Eva, also. Cha, end. Ahimsa, non-violence. Samatha, equilibrium. Tushti, satisfaction. Tapaha, penance. Danam, charity. Yashaha, fame. Ayusha, infamy. Bhavanti, come about. Bhavaha, natures. Bhutanam, of living entities. Mataha, from me. Eva, certainly. Pritagvidaha, variously arranged. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, pain and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Purpose by Srila Prabhupada. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna. And they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power of analyzing things in their proper perspective. And knowledge refers to understanding with the spirit, what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Asamoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant, and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Kshama. Tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and execute the minor offenses of others. Satyam, Truthfulness means that that facts should be presented as they are, facts, for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way, so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, then it's truth. That is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the fact Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. Control of the senses means that the senses should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses, but unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental. Detrimental for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the senses should be restrained from unnecessary use. Similarly, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called shama. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those whose thinking is highly developed. Sukham, pleasure or happiness should always be in that which is favorable for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And similarly, that which is painful or which causes distress is that which is unfavorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Anything favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and anything unfavorable should be rejected. Please, you can also remember some points. We can shortly just, somebody can say some points which touch him. Bhava. Birth should be understood to refer to the body as far as the soul is concerned. There is neither birth nor death. That we have discussed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Birth and death apply to one's embodiment in the material world. Fear is due to worrying about the future. A person in Krishna consciousness has no fear because by his activities he is sure to go back to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, his future is very bright. Others, however, do not know what their future holds. They have no knowledge of what the next life holds. So they are therefore in constant anxiety. If we want to get free from anxiety, then the best course is to understand Krishna and be situated always in Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will be free from all fear. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 37, it is stated, Bhayam dvitiya vini veshatya syat. Fear is caused by our absorption in illusory energy. But those who are free from the illusory energy, those who are confident that they are not the material body, that they are spiritual parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Godhead, have nothing to fear. Their future is very bright. This fear is a condition of persons who are not in Krishna consciousness. Abhayam, fearlessness, is possible only for one in Krishna consciousness. Ahimsa, non-violence means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Material activities that are promised by so many politicians, such sociologists, philanthropists, etc., do not produce very good results because the politicians and philanthropists have no transcendental vision, but they do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. Ahimsa means that people should be trained in such a way that the full utilization of the human body can be achieved. The human body is meant for spiritual realization, and any movement or any commissions which do not further that end commit violence on the human body. That which furthers the future spiritual happiness of the people in general is called non-violence. Excuse me a little bit for my English. I'm also fighting with the words. Samatha equanimity refers to freedom from attachment and aversion. To be very much attached or to be very much detached is not the best. This material world should be accepted without attachment or aversion. That which is favorable for prosecuting Krishna consciousness should be accepted. That which is unfavorable should be rejected. That is called samatha, equanimity. A person in Krishna consciousness has nothing to reject and nothing to accept, save in terms of its usefulness in the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. Tushti, satisfaction, means that one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. One should be satisfied with whatever is obtained by the grace of the Supreme Lord. That is called satisfaction. Tapas means austerity or penance. There are many rules and regulations in the Vedas which apply here, like rising early in the morning and taking a bath. Sometimes it is very troublesome to rise early in the morning, but whatever voluntarily trouble one may suffer in this way is called penance. Similarly, there are prescriptions for fasting on certain days of the month. One may not be inclined to practice such fasting, but because of his determination to make advancement in the science of Krishna consciousness, he should accept such bodily troubles when they are recommended. However, one should not fast unnecessarily against Vedic injunctions. One should not fast for some political purpose that is described in Bhagavad Gita as fasting in ignorance. And anything done in ignorance or passion does not lead to spiritual advancement. Everything done in the mode of goodness does advance one. However, and fasting done in terms of the Vedic injunctions enriches one in spiritual knowledge. As far as charity is concerned, one should give 50% of his earnings to some good cause. And what is the good cause? It is that which is conducted in the terms of Krishna consciousness. That is not only a good cause, but the best cause. Because Krishna is good, his cause is also good. Thus, charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to the brahmanas. The practice is still followed, although not very nicely in terms of the Vedic injunction. But still, the injunction is that charity should be given to the brahmanas. Why? Because they are engaged in the higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge. A brahmana is supposed to devote his whole life to understanding Brahman. Brahma gyatiti brahmanaha. Brahmanaha. One who knows Brahman is called a brahmana. Thus, charity is offered to brahmana because they are always engaged in the higher spiritual service and have no time to earn their livelihood. In the Vedic literature, charity is also to be awarded to one in the renounced order of life, the sannyasi. The sannyasi beg from door to door, not for money, but for missionary purposes. The system is that they go from door to door to awaken the householders from the slumber of ignorance. Because the householders are engaged in family affairs and have forgotten their actual purpose of life, awakening their Krishna consciousness. It is the business of the sannyasis to go as beggars to the householders and encourage them to be Krishna conscious. As it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve what is due him in this human form of life. And it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve what is due him in this human form of life. This knowledge and method is described by the sannyasis. Hence, charity is to be given to the renouncer of life, to the brahmanas, and similar good causes, not to any whimsical cause. We have a little more. Yashas, fame, should be according to Lord Chaitanya, who said that a man is famous when he is known as a great devotee. That is real fame. If one has become a great man in Krishna consciousness and it is known, then he is truly famous. One who does not have such a fame is infamous. All these qualities are manifest throughout the universe in human society and in the society of demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and those qualities are there. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. Of whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. Although we know that things are differently situated, we should realize that everything flows from Krishna. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy are all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. This is really wonderful verse. When I read it before, this end of the purport is very, interesting. Where Srila Prabhupada said, of whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. So we see in this world things good or bad. How many times? 10-15 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So everything manifests from Krishna, and we see many things we accept or reject, many things, but they exist. As Srila Prabhupada said, they flow from Krishna. But maybe we are not ready to accept them in a proper way, bad or good things. Therefore, we have these rules and regulations to reduce ourselves, to control our mind, senses, and to attain perfection. And Krishna said that when one achieves perfection, he neither hates nor wants things from this world. Whatever he gets, whether bad or good, he accepts it. But on that level, probably persons see bad and good qualities in much, much different way as we do now. So, usually when I thinking of these topics, I remember the first verse in the 11th canto, part 2. Because when we listen when we are listening this knowledge and verses like this where this some high qualities are described, non-violence, fearlessness, and such created qualities, Krishna describes on the beginning, before he start to explain Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. You know everybody for Uddhava Gita. You know. Before he starts to speak to Uddhava, the knowledge of transcendental knowledge, he says to him the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. They are influencing only to the material intelligence and not to the soul. And by cultivating the material goodness, one can remove the lower modes of nature. So he actually told him what focus he should have. When we know that all bad qualities or good qualities are influencing only on the material intelligence, that's not ourselves, then we are really much more free to meet things, to learn about things around us. When we don't have fear, it's much more easier to know, to learn, and because fear is limiting intelligence. The fear is making distortion of intelligence. We don't see things as they are. Now we see each other here, but actually we don't see each other, one of each other. But if we try to learn and to see ourselves and others as they are, we will make it. If we are humble and if we are have a culture of Krishna consciousness, it will come. Is there something that is interesting for you in this verse, or something appeared? Maybe we can shortly just make one brainstorming. Huh? If there is something. Which, you know, it's very important. Sorry, I will just say this. It's very, really, very, 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 very important to say what appears in the heart. In a nice way, in a proper way, you know. It's very, very important, because that's Krishna, you know. And when we speak what is in our heart, or when we think, if we totally express what we feel, totally, 100%, we will have a darshan with Krishna. That's for sure. That's the process. That's nothing. There's nothing more, really. Only thing which separates us from Krishna is that we do not express our hearts totally. Really. Oh, of course, we can express our hearts and see somehow Krishna. In some way we will get darshan. Of course, but there are these coverings which covers intelligence. But to say, well, for example, here, everybody has, when we were reading, something was appearing. For sure, in the mind, there's nothing. There's never nothing, you know, in the mind. You know, always is something there. And if we try to find a way to express that what appears in our mind, in our heart, if we fight for that, then we will advance very, very fast, and we will see ourselves as we are. So, please. Yes, that's true. It's many angles from which we can explain this topic. But as I was practicing, while I was practicing the Krishna consciousness, I understood till now that the only way to see that properly, to manage that properly, you know, everybody feels, you know, you feel every day, every moment when you wake up, you feel many things, you know. You feel one thing in your heart, but when you want to express it through the mind or through the body, it gets distorted, you know, it gets, you know, deviated, you know, in different ways. That depends on the modes of nature which are, you know, dominating, you know, and also to the our state of mind, which attracts also plus modes of nature. You know. But in the heart there is one thing. For example, we are walking in a town, you know, and somebody smells fish. You know, somebody burning fish. You know. And if we are devotees, we will, in various ways, we will say, something like that. Wow, no, not good. But what you're really feeling in your heart? Do you feel a compassion, or just that reaction? You know, or there is one thing in the heart, and the reaction in the mind is a different thing. You know. As more as we see ourselves, like Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, he describes the Vishnu Chakra Dittakur. This explains how we should be this sthitadhir person. It means that you are situated within. You're observer of your reactions. You're not identifying yourself with the reactions. You can feel your heart, and you can react by your heart, not by the reactions of the mind. You know. And in that sense, we can recognize what is natural need of the senses. You know, in that state of mind, you know, we can understand. We can recognize the natural needs of the senses. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he said, when one is acting according to his own nature, he doesn't make sinful reactions. You know, for example, if I would act like someone else, I will make probably mistakes or something like that. But now mind is acting like somebody else, you know, and making wrong results in the future. But we are not acting according to our heart. We are not acting according to our real, what we really think of something, you know, or of someone. You know. Maybe we can see some person who looks like a little bit, you know, in the mind. You know. But is he really that, or we are thinking like mass, you know, like a global, you know, global thinking, you know, identified with the. With many minds, and we are saying what our others are saying, or we really think from the heart, what I really think. Have I speak with this person? Have I understood him? You know, or something like that. Then I can make a judgment, or I cannot allow my mind to, you know, to react, pre-react. You know, to, you know, have to think, understand. And in that, when we achieve that, when we can express our heart really. What is really in the heart, then we can recognize what is natural need of the senses, and then it's natural. Then senses are happiness too, you know. But we can imagine that I need to be like sannyasi or like this or that, but it's not true. That Srila Prabhupada said everybody should be sannyasi in the heart. That means that you see yourself, you see the spirit, you see the atma, which is never in contact with matter. Atma is never. That means that, you know, according to the matter, atma is always sannyasi. You know, but we are not aware of that. Like in Bhagavad Gita, he said, "The spirit soul, the master of the body, he does not make activities." I will not say in English properly. That's He's not making, producing activities, nor he forcing others to act. Nor he is has ownership on the results of actions. And I said, right? Huh? And according to that, Krishna said another verse, next verse. Next verse, he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead neither accepts nor rejects anyone's sinful or pious activities. But the living entity is covered with avidya, or ignorance, which covers his real knowledge. You know, he's never, you know, accept pious or bad or good activities of really, absolutely. But he can sometimes, like a father or mother, they love their child, but you know, you can punish or yell or something like that, but actually you don't think that really, just energy, like this Caesar Milan, you know, this expert, this dog whisperer, you know him, he's very expert, huh? You heard from him? Yes, he's very wonderful yogi. You know, he presents yoga to people who likes dogs, and really, actually he cures people, not dogs. They invite him to cure dogs, but actually he cures them, because they are behaving unnaturally to the dogs. They try to humanize the dog, you know. Yeah. And then he corrects their minds. they have to act according to nature of the dog. In a similar way, we have to learn to act according to real nature of our real senses, but we have to... Krishna is punishing us because we will make trouble for us, you know. If you do with your senses something, but it's wrong, you will not achieve your, you know, your dreams. You will not achieve your him. You will not achieve your love. You will not achieve, you know, therefore he... In the beginning, it looks like he was punishing us, you know, something like that. Actually, the easiest way is to really try to see, really try to see ourselves. When we chant, we have to detach ourselves from the matter. Actually, we don't detach anything, because it's already detached. You know, it's already separated, spirit and matter. We are sometimes afraid to think of that, because we think that we will lose material things, but it's actually it's contrary. We will get these things in this world in a true light. You know, you will really know the person. You will really know your things which Krishna gave you, and something like that. Is it something clear? Huh? Okay. You can see us. So we can finish here. If someone is, no one has nothing to. Please, if you really, but really, try to. I get the pearls. pearls. But really, really. Try not to escape what is in your heart. Try to find a way to express it. It's very, very important. It's where we meet Krishna. Really, it's in different levels. It's very important. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, renunciation in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. He explains how. Renunciation in the mode of passion is when you are renouncing something because of the fear or bodily discomfort. You know, for example, you're in an elevator and someone is in elevator and you avoid to look that person in the eyes. And, you know, that is most mode of passion, or maybe tamagun. You know. You have to watch, you have to fight for that you do the proper thing, you know, that you don't, that's, and Krishna said, if one renounces in the mode of passion, that degrades the soul. That pull the soul down. And but it's a very beautiful thing to watch people in the eyes, and you know, it's very, very easy way to advance and help others to advance, really, only to look in the eyes, but really look in the eyes. Not to imagine something when you look in the eyes. But like a scientist, you know, he watched something and just looking, just searching for knowledge, searching that knowledge came to him from that, you know, not that I have a knowledge and I look in the, like that. You wanted something? So thank you very much, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak and to learn how to speak. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.